What's happening, everybody? It's the QB List Podcast. Brian and Mario here to bring you everything you need for your pre-draft studying, practice, whatever you want to call it. Mario, how are you doing today?
Brian, I am doing well. We're one Sunday closer to real meaningful football. I'm gonna say meaningful football because we did have football on last Sunday and Saturday, and it was football, you know.
It scratched the itch. Yeah.
Maybe Tony Rich did. The Eagles offense did not. Eagles offense had like five straight three and outs, and it's like, okay, I'm already over this.
You're throwing Anthony Richardson shade, but I'll pocket that because we've got something to talk about today. Today's show, it is loaded, jam-packed with everything you need to know. We've got news, we've got updates, and of course, our players to avoid and our mid-round gambles. Yes, those players that you're taking in round 5 to 10-ish. Ooh, do I take them? Where is the biggest upside? These are the players that we are gambling on. Without further ado, though, let's get this rocking and rolling because you are already like, subscribe, whether you're here on YouTube or on the podcast, and you've already checked out all the great articles that are over on QBList.com. So without further ado, let's talk about the biggest that we've had already. We're recording this on Monday, August 17th. You're listening to it on Tuesday, but yesterday, Breece Hall, the groin injury. Man, I got scared because the words non-contact are never something we want to see, but it seems like it's just a groin injury. How you feeling about it?
Like you said, I mean, the untouched groin is the deadliest, is what they say. The fact that you said it was non-contact, I didn't like seeing that. Breece is maybe someone I'm avoiding a little bit, but that's just because he's a Jet. I hope he gets better soon, and definitely something we're monitoring. This is why you don't draft till week 3, right? So,
yep. Braylon Allen ran in a 31-yard touchdown, but you're about to see a lot of him and Isaiah Davis and a lot of camp hype, I'm sure, on him over the next couple weeks. Jeremiah Love, the consensus 3rd overall pick for the Arizona Cardinals. Ankle sprain, expected to keep him out for the rest of the preseason. Hopeful that he can return for the season opener. Honestly, why? He is now one of the highest paid running backs in the NFL, as yes, he has not even played a snap of actual football. You just paid Tyler Allgeier. Just wait. No reason to bring him back too soon.
Definitely not. I'd say I'm happy they gave him some touches, right? You don't want his first thing to just be boots on the ground. But after a scare like this, we're pumping the brakes. Like you said, Allgeier, Connor, they have no shortage of bodies back there.
My exposure might actually grow on Jeremiah Love because of this. I don't have a whole lot of him because I feel like he's a little overpriced based on just the points per game I have him projected for. But if this price drops a little bit, I might get a little bit more exposure to him. So keep an eye on that. Ooh. Is this really fantasy relevant, Brian, this next news bit? Probably not, no. But I want to talk about it. Let's talk about Ty Simpson and his near-perfect debut. 21-25, 190 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. The 13th overall pick for the Rams looked pretty good in what should be a redshirt season for him here in the NFL. You excited? Matt Stafford, predecessor, we got him.
Oh my gosh, we do have him. Is this fantasy relevant? I don't know. Ty Simpson, are we? I don't think so. Maybe for deep dynasties.
No, they talk about with Stetson Bennett. They want him to be the backup this year and really let Ty Simpson sit. But it's nice to see something. Because there was so much doubt. Everybody thought Sean McVay didn't even like the pick. So it was good to see. This one, a bit scarier. Another bit of news that kind of changed whether or not some of my decisions and these players were picking up later. But true 50-50 split we might be seeing here in New England. The backfield between Trevion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson. We should see the short yardage passing yard work go to Ramondre. Stevenson or Henderson should work his way in. This is actually good news for me. This is more work for Henderson than I had him projected for. So I actually see this as a good thing. Where are you at with this, Mario?
This is so interesting because this one was the first camp battle we talked about last week, but we were really truly split. And it seems like now, I guess there's good reason. It seems like it's gonna be 50-50. I've never been crazy about Stevenson. I'm still not going to be about this. Maybe now the price for Henderson does seem a little steeper, but he's still the guy I trust. I still trust the young legs over Stevenson.
Totally get that. This one, oh boy. Talk about not drafting early. Puka Nacua sidelined right now. Another groin injury. Imagine that. No indication on his week one availability. They do play overseas in Australia for this first game. There's also been speculation of, will he be available via suspension? You know, like that's the non-zero chance came out there. I think it was Schefter that was talking about that. So just something to keep an eye on. Does Puka really fall that much? Not for me. I already had Jamar Chase ahead of Puka, but as of now, Puka's still, he's top tier for me. He is the number two wide receiver. It would take more definitive like words to really like kick him down that much lower.
Agreed. Even if he were to miss week one, which I believe to be very, very unlikely, he's still a top first round talent. Like, no question.
Yeah. Yeah. You might take Gibbs or Bijan ahead of him. Home leagues usually do trend towards running backs before him anyway, but at worst, I think he's, you know, your fourth pick in any league.
Easily.
Next up, Tony Pollard. Yeah, that guy still plays football, playing for the Titans still. I think this is last year on the contract, but not at practice. Some say it's just a dude's day situation. You know, he's an old vet. He's been around for a while. Tajay Spears and then Nick Singleton, the rookie, would be the other two to be looking at. Nick Singleton, again, did pull in 100 catches in his career. That's awesome for college, but the dude can't block for he's not very good at it, so let's just put that there. Tajay Spears should be seeing a majority of the work in Pollard's absence if we're going to miss time.
If he does, but I do think this is a dude's day. He's been there a lifetime, so I'm not moving the needle on him.
Two guys who are not unfamiliar with the medical tent. Let's go to Denver, talk about Waddle and Dobbins. Looks like they're back on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Waddle, definitely a higher round talent. Dobbins, a guy I like. Maybe we'll get into that more later this episode. Little tease. Happy to see these guys are back.
Doesn't scare me too much. J.K. Dobbins kind of came out and was like messing with reporters a little bit. Like, I'm fine. It's no big deal. Y'all are just freaking out over nothing. Maybe not nothing, J.K. You know, maybe that's what you should be leaning into. I got hurt, J.K. But no, but really, buddy, we know what happens there with you. You hang out in the medical tent. Yeah. Waddle is probably fighting for his seat. Maybe that's what it is. They're trying to get first chair. In the
oh my goodness. But
either way, these guys, when they're on the field, they make magic happen.
Absolutely.
Woo.
Back to JK, well, JK.
You guys want to see a weird face? Hop on over there to YouTube. Check out this video because Mario is going to get a little sour after this one. The hamstring is still lingering with Mekhi Lemon, man. We saw him on the jugs machine, though. So positivity.
Listen, that's okay. He's keeping the hands ready. I mean, he's a rookie. Like, of course, he's got the youngest hamstrings on the team. He's got those Wolverine genes. He'll be back in no time. I'm not worried. He's like
worried.
A toddler. He'll be
a little
fine.
Worried as far as where he is being drafted, because if he misses a couple games going into the season, I don't want to be taking him inside like the top 40 wide receivers. You know, I wanted to be getting him outside of that. So, I worry what we can see outside of Devonta Smith and Saquon Barkley truly in this offense, as far as like consistency.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Dallas Goedert had his career year with touchdowns last year, so that could be consistent.
I can't project it, man. I've got Goddard so like he's almost like tight end 20 for me.
Oh my goodness. The slight.
A little bit. I'm going to get a letter in the mail. Goodness. The slander. It's hitting him. All right. We got to talk about your team. Let's talk about my team. Let's talk about Anthony Richardson.
He is.
Boom, boom. Looks like he's going to be on the team for 2026. He's part of the plan. Look, he looked good this weekend. Granted, walks away with an interception and a fumble. Fumble wasn't great. But the interception, it hit the player's hands. You can't ask Anthony to do much
not his
more
fault.
Than that. Dude looks so big out there. Looks so big and so much fun. Yeah, Riley Leonard looks like trash this past week, so maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe he's like, well, Anthony Richardson wasn't great, but he wasn't as bad as Riley Leonard, so either way, it looks like they are going to be keeping three quarterbacks as of now. Anthony Richardson, no suitors.
So what I was thinking with Anthony Richardson, why he looked so good this game, is he didn't have to play the full game. I think that's been his biggest weakness we've seen. So
he's a really good just half a game kind of guy. Honestly, him and Jameis Winston would be a match made in heaven.
Oh my god!
Anthony Richardson goes bullpen and starts game. It out, and then you go send out Jameis to either go win the game or just close it out.
Oh goodness,
we got something there. All right, last bit of news we have here, folks. It's hitting hard, man. It is hitting hard. But you know what's worse than an injury? when a player won't accept that injury, look, Emeka, I get it. You called a toe injury. You went to a different doctor to get it diagnosed or something. It's turf toe, bro. It's turf toe. It's considered week to week with an injury. This is like a month to month injury. Like turf toe is no mm-hmm. joke. Turf toe is like it's. I'm scared, and I want nothing to do with Ibuka right now until the ADP drops.
1000% agree. I think he just went to a different doctor because, come on, the name turf toe does not. You get no street cred for turf toe. So I think he's just like, give me diagnose me with something cooler, and then I'll accept it.
Which maybe that's just our fault. We need to make turf toe sound a little scarier because it does sound like a weak injury. Really? That's why you're not out there, turf toe?
Yeah. But you tripped on some grass.
A messed up toe, you don't realize it until it bothers you. Until you drop a paint can on your foot in the garage, you don't realize how much toes are involved there. Not to say that's how he did it. Maybe that's how we have personal experiences here. But either way, Emeka, we want you to get better, man. But I am not thrilled by this news.
No.
Because Jalen McMillan, he's also a little banged up out there. So now we're looking at Ted Hurst and Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin.
We'll continue this conversation here in a little bit. Know what I'm saying? Ooh. Know what I'm saying?
Sounds like Brian likes the tight end in Tampa. That's what I'm hearing.
Don't even. Oh, I swear. You bring up Goddard, and now you're going to follow up with Cade Otton. I cannot handle.
Cade Otton. Oh, I forgot his name.
Too early.
The disrespect.
Cade Otton is garbage. Hot garbage.
There goes his chance of being a guest.
Yeah. Okay. Number one, let's move to the avoids, folks. Let's jump into it. Here we
let's
go.
Let's move to the avoids.
Number one player we're avoiding, Cade Otton.
Oh, the slight.
All right. I'm going to start with quarterback. I'm going to start with the MVP of last year. Yeah. Matthew Stafford is on this list. Consensus QB 12. By consensus, 10.01 in Sleeper, 7.07 ESPN, 9.04 in Yahoo. And honestly, 10.01, I think I could be talked into a little bit more into that range. 7.07 and ESPN is just absolutely egregious. What are we doing here? Now, this is a man that finished at the top last year. So we're not taking him that high. But we're still taking a statue quarterback at his age. At QB12. It's so irresponsible. So irresponsible because the floor is not there. There is no rushing floor. You are banking on the touchdowns. Floor. You need 4,000 to 4,500 yards passing. 35, 40 plus touchdowns to make this happen. This isn't going to play out the same as last year. Like, just doesn't go. That's not how it works. Matt Stafford's done it twice in his career where he's had a touchdown percentage this high. Year after year, Aaron Rodgers is one of the only guys, in Brock Purdy, is one of the only players that has this high of a touchdown percentage that doesn't drop down almost 2+ points the following year. Am I saying there's a zero chance? Absolutely not. Would not bet against Sean McVay. But there's a reason I like both running backs on this team. The defense is nasty. We are days away from finding out that Aaron Donald is coming back. Miles Garrett came to town. They brought in both Chiefs cornerbacks. There is so much talent on this defense. They might get every possession on their side of the 50. Like, they may only have to go 50 or less yards every single time they drive. Oh, the running backs might just pound the ball in, eat up the clock. I'm so worried about Puka Nacua's banged up injury. Like, he plays recklessly.
Yep, talked about and then, that.
I mean, how many hamstrings does Devonta Adams have at this point in his career? I'm not leaning into it. Love Terrence Ferguson. I'll play tight end games with you all day long on this team. But Matthew Stafford is going irresponsibly high when you have guys like Bo Nix who rushes, Brock Purdy who rushes, Jared Goff might be a my guy for me as much as like the hypocrisy of the statue quarterback.
Statues.
Baker, Tyler Shuck, so many other quarterbacks I'd much rather have than Matthew Stafford. And then I didn't even get to the schedule, but let's just open it up with going to Melbourne, Australia, for the Niners game.
Wednesday night football.
Then the Broncos, Eagles, Bills. They have one of the harder schedules in football, despite them only being their favorite in every one of them except one. But still.
At Denver, at Philly. Oh, goodness. Home against Buffalo. This is a great sketch. They play some good football. I'll be watching their games. Brian, I hear what you're saying. He's an old statue-esque man about to be hit by some tough defenses. But I just I see their outlook is so different. But I love your perspective on the defense. And this is just gonna be like, this is gonna be Michigan, right? Like, this is just gonna be Michigan of Nine's year.
They've got Blake Corum too. Who did Nine ride? You know, like, come on.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Listen, you're convincing me, but I think Yahoo has it right. ESPN's a little crazy, but I'm closer to Yahoo's ADP than Sleepers. I think Stafford's going to do something. I think he's going to come back with a vengeance. Yeah.
I can play ball a little bit more, but he's a streaming quarterback for me this year.
Oh my gosh. I think he's set and forget. I think he is.
Chance.
I think he's set.
Let me know who your first avoid is. Let's get into yours. Who do we have
here? My first avoid, someone. And maybe this is personal because he had a good game against the Eagles, and only a good game against the Eagles. But Kyle Manungai is my first avoid. I see him right now going as ADP around 88. I see him as RB 33 right now. And I want to just take a quick snapshot of the guys who are around him in that 30 to 35 range. So Rico Dowdle, who won the starting job last year, he's in a committee, but we can see a path to be a top dog, like not even excluding injury.
Yep.
Tony Pollard is 31. Mentioned him at the top of the show. He's not a sexy pick, but he's a starter. He's been doing it his whole career. I think he's going to be another bell cow. 32 is RJ Harvey. Listen, I know you know I like J.K. Dobbins, but there's a chance he doesn't play all the games. So RJ Harvey is a good path. Manungai, 33. In my mind, a true handcuff. He had two finishes inside the top 20 last year. One was Black Friday against the Eagles. I don't even know if that should count. 34 is Dobbins, who you know I like. It's like, I'm going to say less there. And 35 is Jonathan Brooks. Like, we're a Brooks Brothers podcast, so I'm going to say less there. So to me, Kyle Manungai is a handcuff surrounded by possibility and opportunity. So I think that this is just people oversipping the Chicago Kool-Aid on Manungai.
I think Kyle Manungai is closer to a great flex than he is a flex with benefits. Or a great handcuff. I'm sorry. He's better to a great handcuff than he is a flex with benefits. Those flex with benefits, that is the Chuba Hubbard and Jonathan Brooks, whether, you know, no matter what side you like of that. The Rico Dowdle and the Warren, the RJ Harvey and, you know, the J.K. Dobbins. Kyle Manungai falls into the territory with Blake Corum, Kenny Gainwell, Rashad White, Tyrone Tracy, Chris Rodriguez, things. Keaton Mitchell, Jonah Coleman. I don't care who you take. I see them as virtually the same. I think all of them could be borderline RB1s if they get the job. You know, like if the guy ahead of
them goes their job. Sure.
Mm-hmm. But unless that guy goes down, I don't really see them giving you consistent top 20 numbers.
No chance.
You know, they are more somewhere in the 20s. A piece that could absolutely help you, you know, make your way to the playoffs and do all those things. But without the injury ahead of them, they're not a championship piece.
Not even close. And I'll just to that, you mentioned a whole bunch of names there. Tyrone Tracy, to me, he got even dinged down a little bit further. Cause I don't know if you watched the preseason game where Tracy totally missed a block and Jackson Dart got leveled on a sack. So yeah.
Najee Harris was visiting the Giants as well today.
Oh, not good. I was wondering,
he's like the last viable running back, or at least like household name running back. I think that's out there. So I was wondering where he was going to land. Kyle Manungai, ESPN 1201. I'll play that game all day long. ESPN, we give him shade because it's more of like the quote unquote office home leagues, but 1201, that's the appropriate price. That's not trying to get Galaxy Brain like Sleeper is at 803.
803 is crazy Sleeper. And we like Sleeper. We're a pro Sleeper pod.
That we are pro Sleeper. The sponsorship mail, it still hasn't come in, so we're waiting on that. But folks, we are just days away from hashtag too much Mario or too much Junior. There we go. I don't know. I was trying to combine the two.
No, there we go. I like it. We'll run the Sleeper ticker for the YouTube. Right, subscribe. This next avoid. Yeah. Is this a typo, Brian? Because I see that it has a void next to this player's name, and I think that must be some kind of error.
I was trying to figure out how to play this one out because this is going to be interesting. So you're going to hear my opinion on this player, on this avoid. And Mario might be coming back in a little bit more with a stronger take on this one. But my next avoid, I'm staying in the NFC West. But I'm going from the best team in that division to the worst team in that division. Let's talk Cardinals football. A, let's talk about, they look pretty decent in this first preseason game. So it's hard to start off the argument with that. But the building blocks of this argument is the fact that LaFleur's come to town. He knows his team is bad. He's a smart man. He knows his team's bad. He knows that they're playing for 2027. I do not think that this man wants to go out there and go getting into a football tossing contest and see who can score the most points. No, 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 no. This defense is not good enough to stop anybody. At some point, we're going to see the rookie come out. No matter how good Brissett plays, we just have to see the rookie. And we saw flashes. It wasn't wasn't terrible showing there from Carson Beck. So we have that. Michael Wilson, what's the argument here? That he's better than Marvin Harrison Jr.? Sure. I won't even get into that argument with you. But we're arguing at best for the second pass catcher on this team because Trey McBride is obviously the one. Jeremiah Love looked pretty good catching the ball out there. So now are we fighting for the third pass catcher on the team? And that's if you think that they are fully committed to Michael Wilson and not Marvin Harrison Jr. Michael Wilson's going to be on a contract here. So they're looking at, they're prepared to pay Trey McBride the best contract in the league right now. Jeremiah Love is now one of the highest paid running backs in the league. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a top five pick they're paying and going to have to extend him if they want to keep him. And they're going to extend Michael Wilson on probably borderline wide receiver one money when he is not a wide receiver. I just don't see how this team does that. It doesn't make sense for this to lay out that way. The commitment to Marvin Harrison needs to be there. And at the price, it's not terrible. You know, it's probably a bench player most likely for you. Are you going to know when to play him? I don't know. So Michael Wilson. Those reasons, I'm out.
Oh my goodness, Brian, you just sound like a hurt person hurting people, but
trying to let's just go ahead and go into your next one then, because you'll get all the opportunity in the world to rebuttal me, because I need you to explain this one to me. Your next avoid, do we need to send the plastic cup to you? Does QB list need to make sure, do we need to have you pee in the cup, man? What is
oh
going
my
on
goodness
with this one?
Yes, this one's a twofer. Because we're talking about Jaguars wide receivers. We're talking about Brian Thomas Jr. and Parker Washington. I know we don't have the technology to put two ADPs on the screen at once, so I'll give you it. With Brian Thomas Jr. I have as ADP 74, Parker Washington 79. So both in that kind of comparable range, 70 to 80-ish. So this to me is... this is just a gamble if you take either one of them, right? Like, I don't see a world where both are viable. So now you're kind of flipping the coin on which guy to pick in the seventh round. Not only that, I'm looking, Brian Thomas Jr. finishes wide receiver 43 last year behind two of his teammates, Parker Washington and Jacoby Myers, who isn't even on this list, but is someone I would also avoid. His ADP is just much lower, so let's not drag him into it. But let's go back, because Brian Thomas Jr., he could be a league winner again. Remember his rookie season, he was taken. I remember it was like the fourth, fifth round in some of my home leagues, and he was absolutely insane. Parker scored last year just as many touchdowns as he did in his first 2 years combined, so I'm worried that could be a little fluky. And something we've kind of talked about in earlier shows is like Travis Hunter is still there, right? Like Travis Hunter, who kind of got shut down midway through the season last year. We don't know what he's going to play, if it's going to be both sides of the ball, if he's going to be primarily a defensive back. And obviously, since he was shut down and he's young, he has lots of time to recover from his injury. So I expect him to be heavily involved. So to me, for the price of these two guys, you're getting at best a coin flip as to which one could be good. It's kind of similar to my Chicago mentions, where it's like we're just sipping the Kool-Aid on some fun offenses. Because listen, I want a reason to watch Jags games, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say. But this is just a risky way to do it. So I am avoiding both of these pass catchers for their price.
Yeah, like if you're looking sleeper, ESPN, Yahoo, six picks or less. Yahoo, they're literally back-to-back at 801 and 802, but 6 points or less, or picks or less between these two players. So it's like you said,
it's because we don't know. Flip. We do. It's because we don't know. And I'm like, they are not going to both be viable. I love Trevor Lawrence. I love the Jags. They're going to be fun. Come on.
But you don't want a piece? You don't
want to
go buy?
I want a piece. I want a piece. I just don't want to listen. I will go elsewhere. I'll get Strange in the 12th round, and that'll be my piece as a reason to watch these games. It's just, I can't do it for these prices. Brian Thomas Jr. was the biggest.
In the 10th and 11th round, average 10-10. So
maybe, you know, I get him.
I was gonna say, if you want to fade him, you can have him. And then, yeah, like you said, Travis Hunter. We had some reports for a good chunk of the offseason that he was gonna move to defense, he wasn't playing offense anymore, and then all of a sudden he came out and was like, wait, did you guys even ask me? Did you guys even ask the head coach, the GM, anybody? No. No, this is reports coming from other warriors. So Travis Hunter was breaking out before he broke his knee last year. You know, coming off the bye week, who knows what they could have had in store for him had he been healthy. So do you want to take a dart throw, man? That's one you can get for free right there in Travis Hunter.
That's what I'm doing. I got for the ADP of these guys, I'm just going elsewhere.
Gross.
Speaking of gross, this next pick, this next avoid, I think is a typo.
I mean, this is not, I mean, I don't know the first time you thought that on this show. Look, folks, let me put a little bubble wrap.
Not a 5-10 round.
Let me put a bubble wrap around this because, look, this avoid, I like to, I mean, obviously, in the 12th, 15th round, there's guys you should avoid. That's why they're in the 12th and 15th round. I wanted to go a little higher. I wanted to take something from the top. And now, is this a full-on fade? I am not drafting him anywhere. No. I got a couple shares of him in best ball. But I don't have a lot. I don't plan to have a lot. Let's talk Devon Achane. Yes, running back, extended running back for the Miami Dolphins. I want to talk about him. Talk about the most consistent running back in football last year. Yes, my man posted 100% of his games were in the top 24. And by best, I mean the best. Christian McCaffrey didn't even hit that number. He was a 94%. He did have a game that was a bust. It was outside of that. Now, RB1 performances, 50%. Half of them were 50%. Half of them were, you know, RB2. Still not terrible. You know, in the grand scheme of things, 50% on RB1s that had him at 6th. You know, only James Cook, CMC, Derrick Henry, Bijan Robinson, and Travis, he was ETN when he did this. So we will call him Travis ETN.
At the time. Formerly known as.
Amazing. Amazingly consistent. I love that. I love that. I loved it last year as I got to experience it. This year's going to be different, as every year is. It's going to be different, and I don't want to play ball. I just don't want to play ball with this. I don't want any piece of it. I get back-to-back years, RB5. That's great. 1,300 rushing yards last year. 8 rushing touchdowns. 484 yards through the year with 4 touchdowns. That's great. But now this team just got worse. You got a quarterback who, sure, make the argument. Maybe they're the same passer. Maybe both of them are this. But, like, Tua over the last 2 years has thrown more passes to the running back than any other quarterback. This passing pie just got a whole lot smaller, too. Malik Willis is not the passing type. I do not see them putting this game through his arm. There's no one else to throw to, either. So you're like, oh, Brian. Oh, the passes, they're getting funneled right to Achane. It's great. Really? You think the defense didn't know that? You think, let me go cover 4th round Caleb Douglas over here out of Texas Tech, who everybody's hyping up. Or are we going to go load the box and stop Devon Achane? I can't do it. I can't do it at the price either. Where he goes with the players that are around him, I will 100%. So Devon Achane's RB8, RB9, Chase Brown, I'm taking him 100 times over 100. Derrick Henry, I'm taking over. Kenneth Walker, I'm taking over. Amarian Hampton, I'm taking over. I'll get crazy. Give me Breece Hall. Give me Kyren Williams. Give me Javonte Williams. I think Javonte has a higher
Javonte.
Javonte has the highest chance of getting double digits. Tied with like 6 other guys. So
Javonte.
That one's not sexy. Far. That one's getting dirty.
And we've gone too far.
But I do it. I'll do it. I'll push the button.
Oh my goodness. I'm just trying to think. This is the same guy we talked about. Who I'm really happy you mentioned all the good things about Achane, so I don't have to. I hope the listeners just caught that and was like, okay, this guy's lost his own argument on his own.
Too much risk.
So Achane is a Tua merchant, is what we're hearing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Achane was only good because of Tua. That's what it is.
Oh my goodness. Maybe he's a Mike McDaniel merchant. I don't know. I'm operating through him. But I see the points. Like, right, like maybe he was a Mike McDaniel merchant. A Tua merchant, impossible.
I think maybe a
Mike McDaniel merchant.
This team is going to get a huge talent influx going into next year. You know, like they do have some decent pieces. Chris Bell just got activated. He was a potential first round wide receiver pick before he tore his ACL. So they have a chance. And if they get a top quarterback next year, or maybe Malik Willis is actually good. But I do think Devon Achane, we might be able to completely pivot and go towards him next year if the price drops. And I'm sure it's going to be you can't get a worse situation they have now, right?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you could look at Cleveland and tell me if that quarterback situation is better. That's crazy. That's crazy.
At least they have four quarterbacks to choose from. They only have Malik Willis. I guess it's Quinn Ewers.
Quinn Ewers looked bad in the preseason, though.
And Cleveland's probably pretty bummed that they're not going to get Anthony Richardson either.
Oh, my goodness. They wanted to collect them all? That'd be mean to Anthony Richardson.
Anything else on HM before we move? You said you agree with me?
I think you're crazy. My biggest takeaway is that since this assignment was rounds 5 to 10, Brian thinks that Devon Achane is a round 5 to 10 talent. That's my takeaway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I got to be in his leagues. Yes.
Your last avoid. Go ahead.
Yes, speak my last avoid.
That you have.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, we're just talking quarterback. So here we go. I'm seeing this guy right now. ADP 60. It's Jaden Daniels. Maybe I'm just a hater of a division rival, or maybe I'm not, because let's just do a quick look. Like, electric rookie year. Can't argue that. He got hurt his sophomore year. I'd ask you if that reminds you of any other Washington quarterback, but at least RG3 was healthy for 2 years before the wheels fell off. I think he's speed running the RG3 course. He's got nobody to throw to besides the five-headed monster running back and old man Terry, who's on the wrong side of 30. They lost Debo. We saw what happened to Eagles legend Zach Ertz. Like, his leg exploded. I think he's going to play again, but I don't think he'd be the same guy, unfortunately. To see where he's going, I see Jaden Daniels right now. I said the ADP 60 in terms of overall quarterbacks, quarterback 5. Like, I just don't know. I'm seeing the names behind him. Jalen Hurts, obviously that's slander, so we don't have to entertain that one. But Caleb Williams, I'm not even a Caleb Williams or Chicago guy, but I would take him over Jaden Daniels. Like, it's a real fantasy draft. Dak, you're really gonna make me say it, but I would take Dak. Jackson Dart, I would take all of the NFC East quarterbacks over him. That's just all. I'm gonna just be repeating myself. I don't know why Jaden Daniels is this high.
You're just trying to outdo me for crazy takes, because that's I got him at 4. I have him at 4. That's He's crazy. In the same tier as Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts. So if you want to take one of those two over him, I have no problem with it, but I cannot get him below 6.
I just don't think he's going to be this. When I look at these top guys, I think of the names you just said, like Joe Burrow, who's going to do it all, who's going to lead his team to victory. And I just see Jaden Daniels just being the tank commander of a bad team and doing nothing with it.
Did you forget Stephon Diggs is coming to town?
Oh, that's right. I did forget about the spry.
Stephon Diggs is still out there, man.
And then Ayuk is this close.
Could you imagine?
He's Diggs, waiting for the
McLaurin
call.
And Ayuk. Woo! Talk about old and washed.
Oh my gosh. So,
honestly, the left tackle going down.
Laramie Tunsil, gas mask.
Yeah, right. That's the first thing I go to every time. Laramie Tunsil missing most of, if not all of, the regular season. That's a huge hit. That's not great. This running, the running game is not inspiring. We are trying to put together all of these day 3 running backs, and like 3 day 3 running backs does not make a day 1 running back. You can't just like put them together and like glue it and call it that. That's not how it works. So end of the day, this team has a whole lot of holes. Jaden Daniels, unfortunately, is screwed at the point that if this team ever is a Super Bowl contender, he will be under contract. They will never have a shot at truly utilizing his rookie contract. Like, those, they missed that opportunity 100% at this point. So, I'm still drafting him. I got him. He's in my tier 2.
Oh, you're crazy.
I can't stay away. I love, give me the comeback. Oh, it's America. We love a comeback. Come on.
We love a comeback, but like I said, he's RG3. He just took the one step forward for RG3.
Don't you put that up? Yes. There. Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, of course. And I'll say that was my last avoid. I only had 4 players, obviously stopping at 5. out of honor of my last avoid.
Can't hurt another. Now we're going to go to our mid-round gambles. We're talking about the players. They're in those middle rounds, round five to round 10-ish. Somewhere in there, of course, there's going to be variants with your league that you play in, ADP, all that fun stuff. But my mid-round gamble feels like it's a little cheap. Little cheap because obviously it's trending upwards, or it should be, but he had a quad injury last week, so people are still kind of hesitant on him. He's an old man. He does play for the Niners, and everybody but CMC gets hurt there right now. But Mike Evans, wide receiver 28 on consensus, 601 on sleeper, 812 ESPN, 707 in Yahoo. How does this man not walk away in double-digit touchdowns? Brock Purdy is one of the best deep ball throwers over the last few years. Mike Evans still got a deep ball. Is he Mike Evans of old? Is he prime-timed? No, he is not there anymore. He is in the twilight of his years. But his decent is still better than most. So I think Mike Evans could be a potential top 12 wide receiver. Between the injuries that hit guy, you know, if he can play 14, 15 games, you know, if he can avoid missing more than, you know, three games, I think, you know, essentially avoid IR, that 4-week IR stint. I think Mike Evans could give us a top 12, top 16 pretty easily, but especially with Pearsall being out. Who else is on the team? Ayuk's technically there. Debo, you know, fat Debo's out there. He looks,
God.
He looks all right, but, you know, he's clearly lost a step. Everybody else on that team, I don't even know if they have their step. George Kittle, 32 years old, tore his Achilles in January. Tell me that man's going to be out there. They are, but I still don't believe it. But Mike Evans, I love the shot that you're going to take on him.
I love Mike Evans. This one I probably agree with you one of the most out of all of these entire things. You already mentioned it.
6 minutes, finally.
Pearsall is gone, or, you know, out for the season. Juwan Jennings, who seemed like one of Brock Purdy's favorite targets, he's in Minnesota now. CMC can only catch so many balls, and George Kittle, I don't think he's going to board that plane to Melbourne come week one, and I don't know how long it's going to take for him to play into shape, especially if they want to be serious about the postseason. They're not going to rush him back in October. So I love the Mike Evans. If he stays healthy, we just have to protect him from the substation. I think he's got a great promise. I'll say top 18, though. 12, I don't know about that. CMC's got to get his.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, CMC, maybe he doesn't hold on. Maybe. All right, help me get on board with this next one because
this is a good one. This is a good one.
Give me your glasses because I can't see this one at all.
Oh, my goodness. This one might be one of my favorites of the entire list, and that is DJ Moore. Darnell Julius Moore, I have to assume that stands for. Why do I like him? He's going right now. I see ADP around 52 hovering. But to me, I see that Josh Allen finally has a true number one wide receiver, Brian. Like, when was the last time he's had this? Stephon Diggs, which now he's an old man, but try to remember a young Stephon Diggs. And by the way, I think Moore is better than Diggs, but that's neither here nor there. Diggs, four best years of his entire career in terms of targets, catches, yards, all while he's in Buffalo. His best year was his first year in Buffalo by all of those metrics. So to me, that says that they get their guys involved quick. There's not going to be any ramp up time. And last thing about that player, Diggs, is that his only time hitting double digit touchdowns was in Buffalo, and he did it twice. So I know I just said about a whole different player, about why I like this player. But DJ Moore, he made Justin Fields look like the guy, right? And now Josh Allen, I said it before, I'll say again, he finally has a true number one. We don't have to deal with the Kincaids. We don't have to deal with the Sammy Watkins, the like scraps of wide receivers. We would just trick ourselves into thinking are viable because Josh Allen's throwing them the ball. DJ Moore, I could see him getting 15 targets a game.
I'm out.
I'm more excited about it. I can't believe
he was
that.
Almost one of my avoids until you told me he was a gamble for you.
I'm so hyped about him. The more we talked about him, I want to move him up even higher in my tier list after that. I could run through a wall.
I will say we just got news came through. Kyle Monunga will miss multiple weeks.
Oh my gosh. I didn't mean to do that to him.
I was going to say we didn't do it to him. Hyperextended knee. But when also you guys listen to this, you're like, well, Mario, of course we're not going to pick Mon Young Guy. It's an easy fade. Well, folks, we're finding it out live. We're finding it out together.
We're doing it live. We're
also finding out together. Denniston Oliver Moore Jr. is his name. Denniston is his first name.
Denniston? Listen, juniors ride together. I didn't even know that. But
that's why he goes by DJs, because Denniston is just...
Denniston's kind of gangsta. That's, I'm changing my team name to Denniston.
Denniston. I can't go behind this one. I just can't.
Oh.
With the way that James Cook has been running and the touchdowns there, we've consistently seen Josh Allen been the number one quarterback, and he hasn't had a number one wide receiver. Granted, I know he did with the Stephon Diggs years. That was able to happen. But they've already traded. After they got rid of Stephon Diggs, they already traded for a 29-year-old wide receiver. Remember Amari Cooper? Do we remember how long that lasted? Cooper still had it? Weren't his separation numbers still great right before that week of that trade that we were looking at? I
can't believe you compare him to the wrong guy.
DJ Moore just, he didn't look great coming out of Chicago. He has been known to take plays off. The Bills also have been known to go through some struggles over the last few seasons. Throughout the regular season, they hit some tumultuous times. And does he George Pickens it a little bit as far as just, a little pissed. This sucks. I don't like this.
Slander.
It's also a little chilly up there. I know he had it in Chicago, but he spent a good amount of time down there in Charlotte. It's a little warm.
He was good in Chicago. His season high in touchdowns came in Chicago. It was just Justin Fields. It was Caleb Wilson and him never got on the same page. There were quotes about DJ Moore believed that Justin Fields should have started over Caleb Wilson. He just didn't like Caleb Wilson. So, this is Caleb Williams. Thank you.
I was like, Wilson?
Garrett making Wilson. Up names here. Too many. I'm thinking of Russell Wilson, the CBS analyst. But DJ Moore, listen, as long as he likes Josh Allen, which who couldn't, I am loving his position. I can't believe it. Like, he was my favorite gamble going into this, and like even more so now. I can't believe how amped up I am about this. For Darnell Julius. I already forgot his name.
I can't do it. I'm intrigued. I'm not going to lie. I am intrigued.
Denniston.
I am intrigued. Oliver Moore. I can't pull the trigger. Just like you won't be able to pull the trigger on this one.
Yeah, what's this one you got?
I got two players technically in this one. The argument that Mario just made about 16 minutes ago, let's flip it on its head. Let's talk about my gambles being Brian Thomas Jr. and Parker Washington.
Oh my God.
Look, you're Parker guy. I don't care. You're Brian guy? Of course you are. You're Brian Thomas Jr. guy? Maybe. Sure. I'm okay with that too.
Oh,
I don't care who you like. I really don't. I've got them back and back in my rankings. One's going to be wrong, most likely. You know, like there should be a one. But like when they're going, literally going 801, 802 in Yahoo, 911, 906 in ESPN, 610 and 704 on Sleeper. Who's your favorite? Take a shot. But I want to take a shot. I have to take a shot at the Bears and the Jags this year. Year two in the offense. To the new and up-and-comer play callers in offensive minds, the head coaches, like, I love that. I want a piece of it. This is how I'm doing it. And if you don't want to take a bite of that, we talked already about Hunter and Myers being there. Maybe no one has to be the number one for this offense. That also keeps being talked about. Somebody's going to be the one. You want a piece of it. Well, maybe it's just Tootin and T-Law at the end of the day that are consistent. And the wide receivers, you know, we just get spikes here and there. So, either way, I want to take a shot because of how late you can get them. This is what I would call a true mid-round gamble because, it's, you know, like you're taking a wide receiver, potentially wide receiver three, that could be a wide receiver one. That's what you want. That's what you look for here. But it's skeptical by others.
This is the definition of gamble, I'll say. So credit to you. You nailed this assignment after picking a guy in the between rounds one and two that you are avoiding. But so, yes, it's a gamble. There's a chance you pick the one that hits. That ain't going to be my style. Granted, the players I'm going to draft aren't going to hit anyways, just for different reasons. But to me, this is just all Kool-Aid sipping. That's what this is.
All Kool-Aid sipping. Well, let me know which Kool-Aid are you sipping from then, if not the Jacksonville wide receiver Kool-Aid tank.
Oh, my goodness. We're talking about the number one running back, the lead top dog of Denver, who's somehow being drafted behind the other guy. So
are you talking about that Rocky Mountain Oyster Gatorade, huh? I don't know if I want that either.
Oh my goodness. That's a JK. Yes, a JK Dobbins is who we're talking about. ADP 89, give or take. We got the draft spots projected on the screen. So take a look on YouTube. But JK Dobbins, he's on the older side. He may get hurt. He may not play 15 games. I'm optimistic, though. I think he will. No. But he was hurt in last year. He got hurt in week 10. That's not helping me. But between week 1 and 9, he was running back 16. So if you can get RB 16, I'll take the best of this bunch at sleeper in round 8. You take that in RB. So that's just my biggest thing about J.K. Dobbins is I think people are just a little overcautious that he's not going to play the full slate of games. But when healthy, he's still more than serviceable. R.J. Harvey, we kind of saw when he took over. He's not the bell cow. He ain't built like that. I know Sean Payton likes him. That's the only tough part about it. But J.K. Dobbins, as long as he gets the rock, he performs. To me, this is the opposite of those last two guys, right? Where you're rolling the dice and you're like, man, I hope I draft the right guy. You know who the right guy is right here in front of you.
So many thoughts on J.K. Dobbins. So many thoughts on R.J. Harvey. So many thoughts on Jonah Coleman, the rookie fifth rounder.
Yep.
His career, I've loved J.K. Dobbins. I've always rooted for him. But there is something that you know with J.K. Dobbins. It's death, taxes, and he will miss time. When will it be? Who knows? Who knows? But like, I would not be willing to put all of my money in my accounts on the fact that he won't play a full slate of games. With that being said, that is being baked into the price. The worst price you'll have to pay is 8th round for J.K. Dobbins, like you said, a sleeper. You can also get him in the 9th and 11th, depending on if you're ESPN and Yahoo. So let's say, worst case scenario, we're getting him in the 8th pick. You've already got a couple running backs. You already have 2 or 3 wide receivers. You might even have a tight end and a quarterback. So at this point, you are filling out a bench spot. So I think in certain leagues, I think it works out. If he is going to be, if you're going that zero RB approach, you know, you maybe go with that hero RB and then you're filling out your wide receiver spots, maybe your onesies. I think he's great if you look at him as like an RB 3-4-ish. Someone, maybe I need to plug him in. Maybe you have Jeremiah Love. Maybe you took Jeremiah Love and you're like, look, I need somebody for a couple of weeks that I know he's going to be out there. Give me some RB 2-ish points, but I cannot rely on that. You cannot fully just dump the RB position, you know, grab Tootin as your RB1 and then come back with J.K. Dobbins as your RB2. That is unsafe. It's too fragile.
That's nasty.
But there are certain builds that I think J.K. Dobbins makes a lot of sense. I just think that there's no world where he finishes in the top 12.
Listen, if you get anyone finishing in the top 12, 8th round on, like, congrats, you nailed your draft. Or you're drafting with a bunch of buffoons. But I'm liking J.K. Dobbins.
To be fair.
RB16, weeks 1 to 9.
To be fair, Jonathan Brooks has drafted one RB spot ahead of him. The same round in every platform. I think he could finish top 12.
Oh, my gosh. We are Brooks Builders podcast.
Now, when I say that, you have to understand, folks, too. All those top 20 running backs, not all of them play 17 games. So a lot of your favorite running backs don't finish in the top 20 overall because of injuries and missed games and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of that plays into it. You know, a guy that's actually more of like an RB15 is he could finish top 12 just because 3 guys ahead of him got hurt. So grain of salt. My next one, he would have been on here whether or not the Ibuka news came through. He is one of my highest exposed wide receivers I have. I really love the passing offense for the Bucks. I really like Baker Mayfield getting back with Zach Robinson, hoping some magic can happen. Give me exclusive 11 personnel. I don't even want Kate Otten. Go sit down. Go fill the Gatorade, buddy. Gosh. I don't even want you on the field. Give me 0 tight ends. Lander. You say what? 13 personnel is the new hotness? Yeah, and Tampa is already hot. We have plenty of wide receivers down there. A couple more banged up. Jalen McMillan and Obuka would be a 2 of them. But my favorite wide receiver here in these late rounds, it's annoying, it's egregious, it's horrible the way that this man is being treated. Christopher Godwin Jr.
Jr.
Yes, that man. Wide receiver 43, 912 is his average draft spot, 812 sleeper, 1305 in ESPN. And 902 on Yahoo. Hey, ESPN, I gave you guys some credit a little bit ago. huge miss here. Huge freaking miss. Yeah, Chris Godwin, man. Most likely, Abuka is going to be coming back after a few games. So I really don't think a top 12 finish is in Chris Godwin's realm of possibilities. He's 30 years old. I will acknowledge that. But this man has a mind meld with Baker Mayfield. They link up. They throw the ball a lot. And I love the possibilities of what we can get out of that. So Chris Godwin, great gamble. Great shot here in the mid rounds.
Great shot. Like you said, Baker is going to be slinging it. He's angry. He wants to get paid next year. Probably not in Tampa, the way things are shaking out. So he's going to force this rock. And I think their running back situation is a little bit of a mess. Like, I'm not really trusty Bucky Irving and Rashard White left.
Yeah, that's another reason. Not only do I love the talent of the wide receivers, but it's also the running back skill. So, yeah, Chris Godwin, huge target for me in my mid-rounds. Now, I'm out, but Mario's got three more for us here. Mario, smack us with this back-to-back-to-back gambles. You're looking for 777 to pop up, aren't you? Jackpot.
I love it. Last one is a deep cut, but we'll work our way into that. So Tucker Kraft is my first one. You've heard this name before on the pod, but I'm just going to echo the good. He got hurt in week 9, but between weeks 1 through 8, he led all tight ends in points. Love to see that. His 6 touchdowns were 8th most among all tight ends for the entire season. And again, he got hurt in week 9. So he played basically a third of the season and had the 8th most touchdowns. Romeo Dobbs is gone. Jontavian Wicks is gone. Yes, there's some golden truthers out there. Maybe I'm potting with one of them, but I'm really excited for Tucker Kraft. I think he's going to be heavily involved in this offense.
It's the injuries, the only thing that worries me. Like, not worries me that much. I am still drafting him everywhere, but if they try to slow roll him out a little bit, he could have a slower start. Folks, I also encourage you, go look at the tight end scoring across the first 3-4 weeks of the season last year. And that'll remind you that tight ends don't mean squat. Tucker Kraft, he is in my top 7, top 8. I really like him. He fluctuates anywhere from like 4 to 7 for me in my rankings.
By the way, for the people at home, looking at last season, weeks 1 to 4, half point PPR, the top 4, Hunter Henry, you're right, nonsense. Jake Ferguson.
Nonsense.
Okay. Nonsense. Dalton Kincaid. Nonsense. Tucker Kraft. Finally, some stability. Finally, something makes sense.
There it is.
And it's because he had 21 points in week 2.
There was no consistency across the board. Like, I remember writing the tight end articles, and I was just pulling out my hair because of how bad it freaking was.
Oh, that's a fun trip down memory lane.
All right. So, yet again, we both picked the gamble of a avoid for us. I avoided Michael Wilson. You're gambling on him, man. Sell me.
Oh my goodness. Michael Wilson, you made some great points. You're right. They are looking towards the future. I see him right now, ADP 87 overall. Listen, Jacoby Brissett, he held out. It was worth it. He got paid. But Mario, we saw Carson Beck is probably going to get some snaps. Carson Beck looked like the future face of this league in the Hall of Fame game. Let's not forget that. It was probably the best Hall of Fame game in my recent memory. Marvin Harrison II, not Junior, is being carried by name and draft stock alone, not production. So you mentioned it's like maybe they're just going to keep investing in them because, again, he drafted high in his name. Wake up and smell the coffee. Michael Wilson proved that he can thrive in a losing environment. And we know that's what the Cardinals are going to do a lot of this year. So I think they want to have fun with it. I think that LaFleur, he doesn't want to go out there and produce boring football. I think Michael Wilson's going to continue to get 10 targets a game.
It's a gamble. That's all I've got, man. I don't believe I don't want to play ball. What am I saying? There's a 0% chance? Not at all. Won't do that.
No, that's right. And this last one, I can't believe I have two players from the NFC West's worst team, probably the NFL's worst team, but just Tyler Allgeier. This one, look, Arizona, just speaking about their games, they're going to want to keep Jeremiah Love healthy. They're not going to want to just run him into the ground. Allgeier is very used to being the guy just stealing touchdowns from a top drafted running back. It's a natural fit in this position. I think that's why they got him, is because he is a natural fit. Like, when they signed Tyler Allgeier, they knew they were taking Jeremiah Love. They're like, here's a guy who knows how to back up a highly talented running back. So I like the Algier pick. I think you're getting him way deep in leagues. We're seeing Sleeper and Yahoo around late 11, but ESPN round 15, you're taking the backup here. I like it.
And again, we're recording this August 17th. I think the official draft week for most average leagues is going to be next week. ADP is not going to adjust in time. Tyler Algier should be a last round grab for most teams, just with Jeremiah Love potentially, you know, missing some time. Algier will be the guy out there, you know. Definitely be helped out with some James Conner and Trey Benson, I guess. Does Bam Knight come back? You know, like, what? Who knows what's around him? But if they're close to touchdowns, it would be Algier that's going to be going out there and snagging those. So I think that this is a great call out just for situationally. All of that also being said, as we're shutting it down here, more breaking news has hit. Jordan Tyson, top 10 pick for the Saints, rookie for the Saints, is going to miss about 2 months, is what we're looking at. So potentially missing, coming back anywhere from week 4 to 7, I would say. This is not great.
Whoa.
Devon Vele, the 28-year-old, still on his rookie contract, is there. They traded for him last year. Somebody I want to throw out there, though, Bryce Lance. Yes, Bryce Lance. Trey Lance's little brother, who also played North Dakota State, the same school that Christian Watson played at. I say his name because that it's probably one of the easiest comps you can make. Bryce Lance was not great in college. I say that because it took him forever to actually break out. He was like 24, 25 before he had his best season. With that being said, he has an interesting skill set. And an interesting, like, if he is the guy that draws, like, he's going out there as a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 with Jordan Tyson's interest, who knows? Maybe this is more of a best ball play. If any of you guys are in the Scott Fish Bowl with really, really deep leagues, or honestly, guillotine leagues. Y'all are playing those. 18 teams are in those leagues, so you need some deep players. Something to look at. Shouldn't keep your mind out on. Mario, what else you got for the people before we get out of here? Or I guess any thoughts on Tyson?
Yeah, I was just going to say that stinks, obviously, late breaking news. I'm a big fan of this offense as a whole in New Orleans. And I mean, this is just to me, Juwan Johnson was someone whose Kool-Aid I was sipping very heavily. So I'm definitely taking another glug of that going into this, but hope the rookie gets better soon. But you know, we talked about teams are not going to rush a rookie back. It's not worth it for their future. I agree. That's it. Wow. Let's see. So people, you can always find me on Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr. Where I tweet. Also, maybe by the time you're listening to this, or maybe not, we got to see when my article goes out, but I did write an article just getting back into the swing of things for QB list. It is fantasy football draft analysis. Does draft position matter? It's a fun little deep dive. Take a look. We looked into 10 teams and 12 teams. Had a lot of fun with it. I hope you have just as much fun reading it. So check that out. And Brian, where do they find you?
You'll find me here on QB List, folks, with all of our other amazing writers we have here. QBList.com. Looking for baseball stuff. I hear that season's still going on, whatever that sport it is. But yeah, we've got that content over there as well. But QB List, we are focused on helping you win your draft leagues. It's at @too_much_Brian if you're looking for me. He's at Mario Adamo Jr. if you're looking for him. And we're going to be here for you every single Tuesday, every single Friday throughout the season. Get ready. We got Around the Huddle coming up next for you next week. We'll see y'all next time. Later.